is drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast made by lifelong Lions fans, UJ.
I've been really drinking a lot of Kool-Aid tonight. Special brand of Kool-Aid called Weller.
Bob.
It's hard to find any losses here. Stafford, regular season MVP.
Rud Dog.
We're going to just be that team that just can flow like water and adapt to any team. The new dynasty is born.
And Connor.
Got to be Stafford. Now with the two tight end sets that I'm so excited about, I see it all clicking.
And I'm your host, Big Z. The media knows nothing. Forward down the field. One pride. Get your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod.
All right, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back after a long week of free agency here. The one thing going on in the entire sports world right now, at least in the United States, I think there's some Russian soccer going on somewhere, and there's esports, but that's about it. The coronavirus is taking over everything.
The rise of esports.
It's crazy. But we got Rud Dog, we got UJ, and we got Connor.
Hey, what's up?
And gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about in regards to Lions free agency.
Oh yeah, meaty.
There's a lot of meat here. This could go in a lot of different directions. But the first thing I want to get to, it happened today. I'm glad we waited to do this pod until Thursday because we knew more news was going to drop. In regards to a guy, the one guy that's, we're all supposed to stay in during this quarantine, right? But the one guy that's not letting anything stay in anymore is Darius Slay. He let everything out of the bag today and on the radio with Mitch Albom in regards to... So first of all, he gets traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. He signs a 3-year, $50 million extension with them and is traded for a third and a fifth round pick. Before we get to those comments, what do we think about the trade?
I'd say I'm not happy with the value we got, but if there was that kind of friction, then at least we got something.
Yeah, I'm reasonably happy with it.
He's on the last year of a deal and like looking for a big pay raise. Like I feel like we weren't gonna get much more, but I was kind of hoping for a second rounder. But
yeah, I was honestly hoping he played this year. That was my main hope, is that he'd play and we get one more year of his play instead of draft picks. But
all these people saying we should have got a first rounder are ridiculous. Like that was never going to happen.
No, that was never going to happen. Not for the price that he was looking for in an extension. And only 1 year left on his deal anyways.
Yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney went for a third rounder too. So you're only going to get so much value.
Yeah.
He's going back to his first ever coach, the coach that drafted him, Jim Schwartz, out in Philadelphia. So I guess we wish him best of luck, unless we play him in a game. Everybody kind of saw this coming, the Darius Slay trade, for a while here. We've talked about it to death on this podcast, and so has the rest of Lions social media and everything like that. But the shocking thing more so, we knew there were some underlying issues. You can tell the Quandre Diggs trade especially kind of set him off in his comments. But in that interview today with Mitch Albom, he was saying things like where Patricia was telling him that he wasn't a good player, he shouldn't be practicing with Richard Sherman and Aqib Talib because those are elite players and he wasn't elite, he was just a good player and things of that nature. He said it was really bad in 2018, and then it got a little better last year, but by that time, the damage was done, apparently. So that's what kind of sowed this discord. What is our reaction to that? Are we misreading the comments?
Can I say something real quick?
Of course, Eugene. Of course.
I'm probably going to be one of the very few people making an attempt to defend Patricia in this, because everyone's going to take Slay's side, pretty much. But, seeing a written word like that, say something, it's very possible Patricia actually said these things, but we don't know what context he said it in or what the environment, what they were doing at the time he said it. And, it's very possible it could have been a real bad attempt at humor by Patricia, when he found out Slay was working out with these guys, and Slay already didn't like Patricia. So the attempt at humor is obviously going to fail badly and Slay will take it the wrong way. I'm just saying it's possible. We don't know. We weren't there. You just see the written word on the page, and it sounds really bad and damning to Patricia. So I don't want to just blanket say Patricia's an ass in this, and you know, and Slay's all innocent stuff. It just, they just didn't get along, right? And you know, the personalities didn't match. So he's gone. We got a couple draft picks for it. I wish him the best. I thought Slay's a great player, but you know, life goes on, man.
Yeah. I'm not ready to condemn Patricia for it or even say Slay's the good guy in this scenario or make any sort of judgment. My main takeaway is I was slightly disturbed when I saw these comments. Like, just because the results on the field suggested some underlying issues within the team over these last two seasons, like, it doesn't seem like Patricia has won this team over. And I mean, that's not to say the fact that he got better in year two is a good sign. And I think he'll continue to hone his, you know, he's a new head coach and he's going at this for the first time. So, you know, there's going to be some turbulence. I just hope he can, you know, this doesn't represent something larger that carries on going forward, because I really want to see this guy turn this team into a perennial, you know, powerhouse. So, that's all. It's just a little disturbing, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of it personally.
Yeah, and this is another thing I'm reading that just came out where it says, he told me, this is Darius Slay, a quote from him, he told me in front of the whole team in the team meeting room, showed clips of me in practice getting a ball caught on me or so in practice. I posted a picture of a wide receiver on social media, and he told me, stop sucking that man's privates. So I'm like, whoa, I'm like, hold up, where I'm from, that don't fly, because I wouldn't say that to him. I wouldn't say to him, stop, you know what, to Bill Belichick. I wouldn't do that. That's just not me as a man. That's disrespectful to me. And so from there on, it was done with. So I don't know. There's a whole lot there.
Yeah, that's interesting tactic.
And this is Dave Burkett that reported it, and a second Lions player corroborated Slay's account. So I don't know.
To me, it's a tougher look than I think you guys might think it is, just because if you're a new head coach, and I feel like the thing you don't want to do is piss off one of your best players immediately.
Right.
I think that's just common sense to maybe tread a little lighter until you get the feel for the team and like the pulse for what's acceptable and what's not. It just feels like a dumb thing by Patricia. I don't know. I mean, he's a new coach. He's improving, but
yeah, and there was a lot of
side. I'm gonna take Slays.
There's a lot of reports out there, you know, 2 years ago that the locker room was dysfunctional and Patricia, didn't have a hold on it. And this is coming from the Jim Caldwell. So talk about two completely different coaches, Jim Caldwell there before, and then Matt Patricia coming in.
Jim Caldwell. Quandre Diggs has been jumping on it too. Like,
oh, I'm sure
on the Slay thing.
I'm sure. He's voices displeasures plenty as well. The only hope is that, you know, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn are getting their guys in here that fit their culture. Maybe Slay and Diggs don't fit that culture quite so.
I mean, to some extent.
There's got to be a reason we're getting all these ex-Patriots, right?
I mean, we got to.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely something to that, but I don't know. We'll see. Not, you know, we got Trufant. He's not necessarily a Patriots guy or any, you know, he has no affiliation. Is he going to do similar things? Is he going to alienate new talent as it comes in that doesn't feel? I don't think this is going to be systemic, but the only worry I have is that it is systemic. If this is an issue he's going to have going forward.
But by all accounts, he was much better last year. Like, he completely changed his approach and everything of that nature.
You mean he learned and he adapted?
Right.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
Even Slay said the year two was better. I think part of it was
by design, though. Patricia came in shocked to the system, you know, and probably pissed off a lot of people. But maybe that was by design, you know,
to weed out people, possibly. Maybe.
Yeah,
it's just weird because, like, the reports we heard about Patricia before he came was like, he's just such a great guy, who, like, loves all his players and stuff. Like, these Slay stories just don't really fit that.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know.
Like, a very player-friendly coach, it sounded like. And then,
hey, well, that was also player coach, or, you know, a coordinator. It's a big step difference from being a coordinator to being a head coach. You know, maybe he might have just decided on a certain tact, you know, to approach things that was different than what he used to be. because he probably realized he couldn't be the same player-friendly coach.
I just like remember all of us talking about how much we loved that about him when he was announced,
right.
That he was such a player's coach or whatever, and it seems like he's gone away.
True. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more that we'll read about in the next coming days in regards to this story. I'm sure it's not going to go away quite so. And Matt Patricia hasn't even responded to any of these stories yet, so let's get both sides before.
I thought he made some like generic response that like him and Slay had productive conversations, but he wasn't going to say anything more about it.
It's a smart way to go about it, I think. That's what he did. I haven't heard anything, but personally.
The only way to go about it, really, if you're in his position, I think. That's a good decision.
Keep
that stuff bottled up as long as you can. Then he doesn't need to throw. Because, you know, like, we're just getting Slay's side of the story, so we don't know what Patricia's side. And I doubt we'll ever get a full expose on what Patricia, you know, what his thoughts were.
So. You know, bottom line is we're losing a good player, but at the same time, you're also losing that underlying tension that was there. And who knows what problems that was causing.
Maybe Slay just doesn't like pencils. Well,
he doesn't like what?
Maybe he doesn't like pencils as a fashion accessory.
Oh, that could be.
Maybe he's a pen guy.
Andre
Diggs is a pen guy too.
I mean, just kind of just last words on Slay, at least for me, is that, you know, I will miss him. He was really good interacting with the fans, and he was very much involved with the community and stuff. So it is a shame to see him go in that regard for sure. And
plus, he was one of our guys that came up through our system to be an elite player, which I always love seeing.
Yeah, and that's hard to do.
Yeah.
For any team, I mean, 7 years is a long time. So it's hard to believe he's been on a team for 7 years. But
yeah, I know.
You mentioned him, Rudd Dog, and I want to mention the signing, kind of the Slay replacement, if you will. It's not going to be, obviously, quite the replacement, but the Lions signed Desmond Trufant, 2 years, $21 million. He's 29 years old. He's coming from Atlanta. He's injury prone for sure. He only played 9 games last year, and he's
injury prone is a bit of a overstatement. But go on, sorry.
Why is that an overstatement?
I mean, he's played for 7 years and has only not finished a season or not had a complete season 3 years. 3 out of those 7, one of those was only 1 game short, and then 2. Last year he finished with 9 games and. 1 year, like 4 years ago, he finished with 9 games. I don't know if I call that injury prone, but I think that's a little. That's all. He's played 16 games for 4 seasons and 15 games on at least 15-5. So, I'm just saying. I don't think I'd call that injury prone. Stafford's injury prone by that logic.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. That's a fair point. But his performance on the field is definitely more up and down than Slay. For sure. His overall grade last year per PFF, this is, you know, we use PFF as kind of a baseline to just get an idea of conversation started. Actually, it was better than Slay's last year at 78.3, which is pretty good. And his best game was against Tampa Bay, which, you know, has an elite receiving core. So that's a good sign. I was a big fan of this signing. He's 6 foot, 190, 4.38 speed at the combine. And that was in 2013. So.
Tampa Bay was giving out 3 interceptions last year, though.
30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions?
Yeah. I mean, he did have 4 interceptions in his 9 games and 7 pass defenses, which in only 9 games is pretty damn good. But
yeah.
It's actually his career high interceptions.
Yeah, 4. No, for sure. I'm a big fan of this guy. I think he... This is one of the guys we talked about in our preview. Maybe not necessarily who we predicted that we'd get, but we definitely talked about him. I'm a big fan of his. I really like the signing as a two, and it's only a 2-year deal for a 29-year-old at $10 million. So I really like the signing. You know, I mentioned 2-year deal, but it's amazing how many of these deals in this upcoming free agency were 3 years. Or 2-year deals. Everybody, that new CBA is going to have a lot more money, so everybody wants these short deals to get that next contract. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, but it's also team-friendly, though. You know, if things don't work out, they're not stuck with the guy for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just want to bring this up because I don't know if people appreciate what Quinn's done enough here. Under the Millen and Mayhew years, we were in cap hell all the time. All the time. And we couldn't get talent on the team for anything. We are not in cap hell. We had money. We had went on a shopping spree, and which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And it was quite impressive. And now he's got 9 draft picks, 4 in the top 100. Come on, man. He's doing
and
something
we have a
right.
Super expensive quarterback, too. Like, we don't have one of those cheap QBs.
What?
So it's even more impressive, I think.
I do want to defend Mayhew in that regard just for a moment in terms of the rookie contracts that he had to deal with at the time compared to now. It's a completely different landscape.
That's true.
That is true. Yeah,
the Lions. I keep saying this, but the Lions had the worst time to have like the top 3 draft picks when they had them, because they had to pay all those guys a lot of money at the worst possible time.
I will say too,
in a short time frame,
a little defense of Mayhew. I still remember one great offseason of signings when we got Tulloch and Vandenbosch, and was it Glover Quinn too? I think then we went to the playoffs like the next year. But anyway, I'm just saying. I know it was a lot of time we were hamstrung by the cap, but just a little credit where it's due there, because that was an awesome
trip. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Mayhew is definitely better than Millen.
And
unfortunately, Mayhew had to deal with Millen's mess.
I think that semi-learning disabled kid I saw fall and scrape his knee on the street the other day was better than Millen if he was given the reins.
But I want to focus the conversation back on this Desmond Trufant signing. So that locks up one cornerback spot in the field. The big question here is, what do we do with the second cornerback spot? Are the Lions in love with Amani Warrior? Were they going to give him the start? Is he going to get a chance to compete for the starting job for real this time? Or is this a huge telegraph for the Lions in the draft and they're getting a CUDA?
Nope.
Yeah.
What are you saying nope to?
A telegraph.
I don't think they know enough about the draft yet to make that assumption.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I think this is a solid signing.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's a solid signing. He's not as good as Slay, obviously. We're not going to replace Slay, but our secondary, I think Awaria is still going to be pretty good, and I think they think he's going to be good. And I think we're just concentrating on the front 7 right now more than the secondary. And they will get better if the front 7 can do its job, so we don't have to be as good as Slay, you know what I mean? But
I'm going to say no to both. First of all, I don't think you can go banking on a second-year player to be your starter, especially when he wasn't the starter the year before. I see a lot of upside, and I'm very excited about Awaria going forward, but you got to at least bring in another starting quality corner to compete with him for that job going forward.
So
you can't bank on him progressing to be a starter this year. And then the second part, no, this is not a projection to the draft. I don't see it as that at all.
So, I mean, what are we going to do with the second quarterback spot? Are we going to pick up another free agent, like a Rashawn Melvin again? Like that type of move, I mean? Like risking on a guy with a cheap contract? The best option right now I see out there is Logan Ryan, who is a former Patriot guy.
Perfect.
But,
I mean, these things he's always materialize.
He said he was open to a short deal as well after not seeing any good long-term deals out there. I don't know how much he's going to go for, though. That'd be the question. I think the Lions might have room for a little bit of room for maybe one more big contract, but the Lions still have some room to address the rest of the roster here as well. So
yeah, we got plenty of money for Todd Gurley.
Yeah,
I would say like watch out for like the way they've been. You notice these safeties they keep getting, like we got that guy from the Patriots. Did we trade for that guy? I know we traded for one and we signed one. They're guys who have a decent amount of experience and have really good cover skills, but aren't proven starters. Like something like that. It doesn't have to be like a proven starter in the league, but get someone who has some more experience than a Warrior who might be ready to take that next step to the, you know, to maybe take sort of like they did with the tackle, big V guy, because I'm just saying he needs more competition. We got to have someone else that seems a little more ready than a second-year pro who had, you know, a good handful of snaps his freshman year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to play, damn it.
Yeah. So sticking
on the job, kid.
So sticking on the defensive side of the ball here, I want to move on to another free agent signing here and get our reactions to this. And this is my favorite signing so far in free agency. That's getting Jamie Collins. I am a huge fan of this move, A+. We brought him up on this podcast as well in our preview. I absolutely am a huge, humongous fan of this signing. 3 years, $30 million, straight up, you know, $10 million a year. This guy was an elite linebacker last year, by all accounts, for the Patriots, and he was a leader on that defense as well. So the Lions release Devin Kennard. He signs with the Cardinals for 3 years, $20 million, and we get Jamie Collins 3 for $30 million. So, yeah, A+ move.
Sure.
He's a Devin Kennard replacement, essentially, in this defense.
Yeah, I think he's more than a replacement. I think he's an upgrade.
I agree.
Like, I see a lot of people being like, oh, we're getting rid of one of our captains and whatever, but he had 7 sacks. Yeah, he had 7 sacks, but it seemed like if he wasn't winning to get that sack, he wasn't doing a whole lot else. There were some games where he was active on the field for the run game, but the guy was not by any means an elite player, and he wasn't even that great, honestly. I want someone who will get some more pressures and consistently get towards the quarterback. And plus, he's more versatile and can cover and stuff than Kennard could do. I think this is an all-around win for the Lions in that move. Plus, trading or cutting Kennard freed up more space anyway, so...
Everything I've read about him is like his football IQ is like really high.
Oh yeah,
and he can like very adaptable, and I think he's like the perfect kind of guy for Patricia for what he's looking for in this team.
Yeah, 72.2 grade last year on defense as well. He had 4 games over 90 grade. So, and that's again per PFF, but.
Yeah.
And we talk about losing a captain, but we're gaining a captain too. This guy's clearly a captain out of defense, Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
So when you say we're losing one, we're also getting one back.
I like it too, because then you can potentially, like with Kennard, if you couldn't move him off the edge, like that was his position. He was built. He's built more like a D end, not really a linebacker. Like. This way, this will free you up for versatility. You could put him at inside, move Jared Davis to the edge for certain plays. You can do all kinds of things with a guy like this.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And 8 sacks.
We're gonna keep rushing three. We're gonna need a good linebacker.
Yeah, right.
Let's hope that is a thing of the past.
That's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
But Jamie Collins did have one more sack than Kennard last year, too. So if someone's asking, where are we going to replace the Kennard sack?
They had the same, I thought.
Sorry. He had 1 sack in the playoffs. That's why I see 8. So regular season,
okay.
Same amount. But
he'll have plenty in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, that's right. All the way to the Super Bowl, baby.
Yeah.
All the way to Super Bowl. So, you know, Kennard, good. It's weird. This guy was, you know, trying to help his Lions teammates vote on the CBA, and next thing you know, he's released. Interesting situation. And I think he was blindsided, but I don't think he expected it, to be quite honest.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. But he's from Arizona, so good for him. He's going to his hometown team.
He came out okay.
Yeah. I like Kennard. I'm happy for him. I'm thankful for what he did for us, but I definitely felt like it was very possible to upgrade over him, and I think they did just that.
Yeah. So, do you guys all give this an A+?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what about what's your grade on the Desmond Trufant signing? What grade would you give that?
I'd give it a solid B.
I'll say, with the slight thing considered, I'll say a B+.
How about you,
I'll give it a solid A. I think he's obviously not Slay. But we also didn't break the bank like those guys going for the top cornerbacks, so I'm happy with that. And this guy can very much step in and be a number one corner, so it blunts the Slay trade a lot, and blunts the loss, I should say. And, yeah, no, I think this guy could be, as long as he stays healthy, because he is coming off an injury, which is obviously a concern, but I think he's younger than Slay too, so just a little bit.
Yeah.
So I like it. A solid A.
So here is the next deal that I wanted to talk about, the next big deal. And this one's kind of surprised all of us. So in our preview podcast, we all predicted Rick Wagner would be back. The Lions made that quickly obvious that he was no, that they were releasing him. They cut him, and then he went to the Packers for like $5 million a year. So talk about knowing the value of your right tackle, I suppose. The Lions have a bigger dead cap hit at $5.8 million than Rick Wagner will earn in salary this year. At $5 million a year. So, I mean, other teams must really not view him too well, getting that kind of contract out there, especially when teams are desperate for offensive tackles. But the Lions go out and sign the backup tackle on the Eagles, and I'm going to attempt to say his name. His nickname is Big V. His full name is Halopulavati Vaitai. So I'm sorry, Big V, if I mispronounce your name. But the Lions give him 5 years, $45 million up to $50 million potentially, $20 million guaranteed. A lot of that is up front in the first 2 years, the payment. And this guy was 11th in PFF in run blocking, but he is this is more of a replacement level type tackle, except maybe a better run blocker. Because his pass blocking has not been graded out too well. But he's definitely, it seems like an elite run blocker, so hopefully that fits what the Lions are looking for.
Hopefully. Yeah, this one kind of... I don't mind this. Let's go.
No, I was going to say, we did not mention him on our preview pod. I think maybe we mentioned him quickly as somebody that was thrown out there.
I didn't know he existed before we signed him. Honestly, this one... The fact that we signed him doesn't – I'm fine. I like the prospect of him coming in. I don't know about right away just bringing him as a starter, but for that kind of money, they better be expecting him to start. This one, it just kind of – they gave him a lot of money for a guy who has not really ever been a starter or a regular starter, and – I don't know. I don't feel like they needed to throw that. I mean, the only thing I'll give them is that they did. I did hear a lot of other teams were going after them, so maybe there's more there than we know. But I would have to downgrade the quality. If we're doing grades, I would give this one like a B- at best.
Yeah. Well, apparently this guy had played pretty well when he did play, though. It's not like he didn't get snaps and people didn't see him in action. He played in the Super Bowl and did well. So, I mean, obviously the scouts out there know what this guy can do or what he's capable of anyway. So, you know, I mean, it's a surprise to us because we never heard of the guy, but the people that know, they know who this guy is.
And when they made the signing, me and Rud Dog, you know, looked up Tyrell Crosby and compared him to this, you know, Big V here. And Big V they've kind of played similar roles in terms of a backup tackle, but they got a lot of offensive snaps last year. This guy had more snaps than Tyrell Crosby did last year and graded out like 5 points better in each category in terms of pass and run blocking. Well, actually, much higher in run blocking. It was like 10 or 15 points. Yeah. But in pass blocking, it was comparable for sure.
Yeah, he was slightly better than Crosby, though, in pass blocking, but much better in run blocking. So
maybe it does fit what they're trying to do with the running game. So, you know, trying to get better blocking out there. So,
yeah.
You know, he might even be better than Glasgow was. But I think Glasgow being more athletic, probably more fit to a zone scheme kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, this guy might be more of a mauler, the guy kind of guy we need to push.
So we're comparing him to Wagner in this case, I would think.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying that the type of lineman they're looking for, you know, to improve the run game.
I wish the Lions would still give Tyrell Crosby a shot at guard. I've been asking for it for 2 years now, but it does not appear to be the case. The Lions will have a fantastic time, you know, in terms of names on the right side of the line with Halopulavati and Bo Benchwall, if that ends up being our starter at right guard potentially.
Who's that? You mean Bo Benchbagel?
Yeah. What?
He's going to be the starter.
I mean, I think the Lions really like him, so good shot at it, actually.
That'd be awesome if they really think he could be the guy. This would be his chance, but it is a little concerning that we don't have anyone proven to fill that right side right now.
Yeah. I mean,
kind of Bunch Bagel's going to get the job.
The 49ers did release their right guard, Mike Person, today. So that could always – he's a veteran offensive lineman, obviously good in a run game, blocking last year for the 49ers. So that could be a possible late target here for the Lions.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But
it'd be nice to get someone to bring some stability in case Bench Bagel can't cut it.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd rather see anybody but Kenny Wiggins in there at this point.
I think we all agree with you there.
Agreed.
So, UJ, what grade would you give this? Connor, what grade would you give this?
I'll give it a solid B. And we'll wait and see what happens as far as his performance. But definitely a solid B, possibly a B+. I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to go solid B, too, for all the same reasons. Good deal, nothing too flashy.
I'm gonna give it a C+. I'm just not a huge fan of the contract still. So I don't mind deciding.
That's a friendly contract.
That's my biggest problem too. Contract.
So this is his contract, in case you're so 5 years up to $50 million, $20 million guaranteed. This year, $4 million base salary, $7 million signing bonus, so a cap hit of only 5.4. Next year, $9 million. So the cap hit the next 4 years after that are 10.4, 8.4, 10.4, 8.9.
So. Yeah, but if he doesn't pan out, they cut him. They don't lose much. If he pans out, he's worth the money. It's a great, it's a team friendly contract.
Wait, how is it? Yeah. Why do you see it as team friendly? Because if they cut him,
they're only on the hook for $20 million total. I think guaranteed, right?
$20 million
guaranteed.
That's not a cap hit though. The cap hit's going to be
but
really
I always forget how the dead money thing works exactly. It's a whole
thing.
Usually
the guaranteed money is the money that the team isn't on the hook for. Like, if in a cap hit.
It is a team fund.
No, you're right.
I mentioned a cap hit, but that's just in the future. So, you're right. It is a team fund.
It feels like we could have got him for a little less money, though. Considering he made $2.65 million over 4 years. He's going to make that yearly salary in one game with the Lions, like, essentially.
Right.
So, again, I thought the value was a little too high, like Connor's saying. But you're right. The dead cap isn't significant if they do cut him after 2 years. There will be something there. It won't be anything.
Wait, after 2 years?
Yeah, it would have to be after 2 years.
Hopefully we don't feel the need to cut him after 2 years.
Well, no,
that's the hope.
That's the obvious thing. You hope he makes it, and if he makes it and it turns out good, that's awesome. But the downside is, because this is a gamble. You're gambling on someone you just brought in. That's the nature of these things, and that what if he doesn't even cut it in year one? We cut him, then what's the cap? I mean, I'm no cap wizard, so I don't fully understand all this.
Yeah. We'll definitely still
rain on the parade. Jeez.
What parade? I'm not raining on any parade.
It does seem like
drinks.
The Eagles are a little shocked, or like the Eagles community is a little shocked by this level of contract.
Bam.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't surprise me. But my God, give him a chance, guys.
They definitely knew he was going to get
his payday. Give him a chance.
So I want to move on to the next signing. This is a guy I wasn't really familiar with either, to be quite honest with you. Nick Williams, the Lions sign. If you look at this guy's tape from last year, this will be the fifth or sixth team that he's been on in the league. He's 30 years old. They give him 2 years, $10 million. He's from the Chicago Bears. Five of that's guaranteed. Interesting signing to shore up the depth on the D-tackle position. We still haven't seen, and maybe we're not going to see big moves at the D-tackle position. This one I'm going to give like a B-, I guess. I've watched the guy's tape, and he was really good last year, but that was with an elite defensive line with Khalil Mack and a lot of one-on-ones, and he was winning a lot of those last year. So,
yeah.
Last year was his first year where he actually got some playing time, and he had 6 sacks. And last year was the first year he recorded a sack in his 5 years in the league. So let's keep it going, baby.
Yeah, I'll give it a solid B. I mean, I think we're going to, especially if we get Clowney, he'll see plenty, or Clowney, especially if we get Chase Young, we'll see plenty of one-on-ones most likely. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what we needed was some interior pressure last year in like the worst way. And I think this at least gives us some insurance if Hand has any more injury issues this year and stuff. It's someone who can put some pressure from the middle. I don't mind it. I'll give it like a B.
Yeah.
It's not a huge contract either. It's
I'm going to go like a C+. It's not one of those sexy contracts we're going to be talking about for a while, but an unnecessary depth signing, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's a depth signing, yeah. And he'll give... Yeah, it'll help that line out, though.
With some nice upside, though. If he can get 6 sacks for us next year, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But still did look good last year, though. That's huge. He did look pretty good last year.
6 sacks for an interior lineman is a very good year.
I'm curious if that's the role they have for him, is that pass-rushing interior guy, or if he... I don't know what his stats are against the run, necessarily.
But
we definitely need something from a pass rush standpoint, so especially on the interior. I was hoping for DJ Reader, but man, he went for a boatload of money.
Yeah,
so,
oh good.
We weren't gonna pay that.
Talk about overpay.
So that brings us to everyone gives the grades.
Yeah.
Who do you want to talk about next?
Well, I think the DJ Reader segues perfectly to another signing in Danny Shelton.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a Patriot? There's a good chance it's an ex-Patriot.
Yeah.
Danny Shelton, 2 years, $8 million, so not a large contract by any means.
Big run stuffer, going to help sure up the... I think he'll replace Snacks nicely. Yeah, he's like 345 pounds. And I read that he actually was getting better in the pass rush last year, so... I mean, this guy, I think that's exactly what we need, a true nose tackle.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, we got him for a lot cheaper than DJ Reader. Not that he's DJ Reader's quality, but I don't know how big the difference is.
I mean, what do we think about all these? We were kind of mentioning the top podcast. It's all these or all these guys we're bringing in have so many Patriots connections. Crazy. A lot of people are calling us the Detroit Patriots or the Patriots 2.0. Is that what we are in some regard?
It's not uncommon for coaches to go over after players they're familiar with and stuff. So, but it does seem like we do it more than most.
Yeah. I think it helps. Really high rate.
I think it helps that we run a similar scheme.
So
you know, you got guys who are going to come in and be able to plug and play a little easier than guys totally foreign to our scheme.
So for whatever it's worth, the run defensive grade, and again, this is PFF, this is what I have the most information on. Out of interior defense alignment who, you know, played over 50% of snaps last year, he graded out the 47th best interior D alignment on the interior against the run.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Who's Ray on the parade now?
That was ahead of Snacks, though. That was ahead of Snacks.
Yeah, that's not saying much.
But he was the 15th best interior D lineman against the pass.
Oh, wow. I was not expecting that.
So
sounds like we'll be using him in situationally, for sure.
Yeah, I'm really curious what the Lions have planned out here for the interior still.
Maybe they're hoping he can revive his ability to stop the run. I don't know.
Yeah,
last year they talked about getting pressure from the middle, and it looks like that's what they're kind of concentrating on here a little bit. With both of those D-line signings, more pressure from the middle.
Yeah, we still need those guys that hold the, you know, free up our linebackers to get to stop the run.
Yeah,
that was our big problem at the beginning of the year, was stopping the run. Couldn't stop anything to save our life. Snacks was getting blown 2 yards off the ball.
Yeah.
But so I don't know. We'll see. It's a really cheap contract. I still think the Lions have another move to make there. I don't know what it's going to be exactly, unless they have a big plans in the draft.
Yes,
Sue is still available, and I'd be all for that. He's excellent against the run. Sue is excellent.
I wonder how much his contract would be. How much do you think he'd sign for?
Last year was a 1 year contract for $10 million. So,
$8 million.
I could see $8 million. Yeah,
2 years, $16 million.
That Ashawn got 2 for 17 from the Rams, which kind of surprised me. I didn't think he.
I'd rather get him on a 1 year deal.
Sue? Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
1 year deal for him. I wouldn't even pay him more than. I'd
love to see him back in Honolulu Blue though.
It would be cool.
I'd be all for it. I'd be all for it. That
rectify his mistake of leaving in the first place.
Yeah. So there's one more defender I want to talk about. So that Quandre Diggs trade finally came full circle. We got another safety. His name is Daron Harmon, and he's also from the Patriots, if you believe it or not. The Lions did a trade with the Patriots. It's a shocker.
That's crazy.
It shocked the whole league.
Has that ever happened before?
So the fifth rounder that we got from trading Quandre Diggs went to the Patriots for this guy named Daron Harmon. So as far as safeties goes and passes thrown their way, he was number one in pass breakups for safeties, which is encouraging. So, yeah. I mean, that's a stat that was thrown out by, I think, Chris Burke on Twitter right after the trade was made. So that's a positive.
I mean, this guy sounds almost like a cornerback at safety, like, or just like a pure center fielder type, not like a box guy from what I've heard. So, I mean, hey, if you can put him in there, cover up for Will Harris until he gets his stuff together, then that'd be nice.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Him and Tracy Walker kind of sharing the field. Daron Harmon was the 24th overall ranked safety in coverage last year, which isn't, you know, that's not too bad.
That's good. That's a starting caliber safety.
Yeah, Quandre Diggs had a 79.3 grade, Harmon 74.7, so...
You know, and then right we traded Diggs.
Yes, I know.
That one still sticks in my craw. I can't help it.
Yeah, he's actually right behind Tracy Walker in terms of coverage grade. So
it could be nice having them roaming back there on third downs.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no doubt. So I actually like this trade a lot. I'm going to give this an A in terms of the value for a fifth rounder. And an ex-Patriots guy that obviously knows Patricia really well and the system. I'm going to give this one an A.
I give it a solid B+. I like it too.
Yeah, I'll give it a. Considering we traded a better player in Quandre Diggs for that fifth rounder, and we're getting a slightly less player, I'll give it a B+.
Hmm. I'll say A-, just rounded out nicely.
There you go. All right. Yeah. There's one more signing I want to. There's a guy named
the Vikings guy.
No, there's two. Then Jerrion Kearse, a 1 year deal, $2 million. Kind of a back, kind of just to shore up, you know, the depth chart for sure. I don't know. Let me see if I can look up his grade.
He seems like an up and comer, though. He seems like in the last year he made strides forward, becoming a, you know, full time player, and he might have a lot of upside. And at that cheap contract, you know, who knows? We might get a real deal.
When I look up his grade here on PFF, he had 271 snaps, so he didn't play even half the snaps last year. He played like 20%. He has an 89 grade, which is really good for a limited role.
I like that young potential.
A lot of upside. So maybe this is finally the shot.
Isn't he a big special teams guy, too?
Yeah, he is. He is.
So that's something nice to think about, too.
And he was playing behind Anthony Harris over there, so he didn't really get a chance because Anthony Harris is obviously elite safety. So maybe this is his opportunity, and I can't wait to see him run with it.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
And then there was one more signing I want to talk about, and my question is: have the Lions finally solved their backup quarterback problem? We predicted this guy on the podcast. This is who we're going to sign. It's Chase Daniel.
Yep.
I didn't expect maybe this much money. Chase Daniel, by the way, kudos to him. This is his third contract of over $10 million, and the guy's started four NFL games. 3 years, $13.2 million to be the Lions' backup quarterback for the next 3 years. I hope this brings stability to that position that we've seen. Just, you know, it's been a merry-go-round of people go through it.
Last year was a shit show. I like the deal a lot personally.
It'll
be a solid. The whole, if we have our backup in anyways, we're screwed. So who it is doesn't matter as much to me, but he brings a lot more stability than our options last year.
I feel a little less chance of being screwed if he comes in than Driscoll or Blau. Driscoll and Blau performed admirably last year, but, I mean, I think Kiss is the kind of guy that can win you a few games in an interim position, whereas those guys were not really capable of it. They kept us in some games, but they couldn't win games.
I mean, granted,
the defenses were crap, but...
yeah. He beat the Lions on Thanksgiving 2 years ago. So
unfortunately, the guy can win games, and that's a big upgrade from what we've had.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's a solid signing, and but we still have Blau, I believe, and I'm hoping they can hang on to him too to develop him because let's face it, Daniel. I mean, he's a solid backup, but he's a backup. So, you know, he's good for a couple of games, maybe. You know, Stafford, but you know, long term, I mean, if he had to play half a season or something like that, I wouldn't expect all a lot.
I mean, imagine like backing up Trubisky and then going to Stafford. Like, what a world difference.
Yeah, his eyes are going to be wide open here.
No kidding.
And if we have a big improved defense, you know, he might be. He's the kind of guy who can manage the team through a year, though. If you, you know, if you have a good team around him, so I like it a lot actually for that reason. I think we're going to have a lot better defense this year.
I agree. I completely agree. It can't get much worse, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Or can
it? Oh, God, don't say that.
No, I agree with you. We drink the blue Kool-Aid on this podcast anyway. It's just going to be an elite defense.
That's right.
You know, we're not going to be a Darius Slay. We're going to be a Richard Sherman and an Aqib Talib, and we're going to be elite.
Right.
Oh boy, that is going to be an interesting story going forward here. Those are all the Lions free agent signings up to this point, as we record this on Thursday night, March 19th. But I just wanted to mention, you know, the dead cap that the Lions have on their roster as of now. So, $5.8 million for Rick Wagner, $5 million for Snacks, $3.5 million for Quandre Diggs, $2.9 million for Darius Slay, $1.75 million for Kennard. $500,000 for Sam Martin, and then $400,000 for T. Sabor.
Oh, that's correct. How much is that?
Tease.
We have dead space for T's Tabor.
We do. Yeah. We do. Yeah.
That's like, I forgot he even existed until you said that.
T. Sabor almost won almost got a Super Bowl ring this year too. Don't forget.
Yeah, I didn't forget about T's.
He was on a team.
He was on. He was on the. Back end of the roster for the 49ers, yeah.
I didn't know that. Good for him, I guess. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so a lot going on here. So I another player I wanted to mention that we didn't get to and when we talked about Big V was Graham Glasgow. It's official that he's not with us anymore. He's gone to the Broncos, 4 years, $44 million. Why couldn't we give him that contract? It's a totally reasonable contract.
It is.
I will never understand why the Lions have this weird ass rotation at right guard. Like no one else in the league does that. No football team I ever played with like rotated guards in the middle of a game. That doesn't make sense.
My only thinking is that he didn't fit the scheme exactly, and they wanted more power blocking. He's a longer, taller guard who's athletic, and you know he's reliable, but I think they want someone who can get more movement at the point of attack. That's my bet.
I think he was friends with Slay and Diggs. And they wanted him off the team, man.
You know, that's as good a theory as any, UJ. As good as any.
Because it's inexplicable to me.
Yeah, it is.
And he's going to
have some sort of plans for that position, you know.
Bench bagel.
Oh, God.
I hope it's not just Bench Bagel, but yeah.
So losing him, we lose
That's
Rick.
A great name, though.
Rick Wagner. Yeah. I think D Virgin we tendered, so he should be back as well. If you're
and Ford too, right? Fans
out there.
Well, we're saved. We got D Virgin still. So
did we talk about losing McKissick?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Logan Thomas and JD McKissick both going to the Redskins.
I'm a little surprised about McKissick. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he must have. I didn't see what the contract he got was, but I will miss McKissick. I thought he added a lot to the roster on offense.
Yeah.
He was a kind of a gadget player.
I think the Lions must like Nuata, though, the tight end, letting Logan Thomas go. That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, that did, too, just because he was showing some real nice flashes. I mean, I know he's not young. Like, I think he's like a 30-year-old tight end, but, like, he's still really athletically gifted. He's also relatively new to the position still. And, like, I think he was just starting to find his own when we let him go. I still feel like he could have developed into a weapon.
The Lions tried to get him for, like, 2 years. They couldn't get him. They finally get him, and now he's gone again.
Yeah, that one beats me.
Jesse James, you got, you know, step up, man.
That could have just been they felt like they wanted to administer, or, you know, attribute their resources elsewhere at this point, because, you know, maybe there's just bigger fish to fry position-wise, which there definitely are when you already have, you know, some big-name tight ends on the roster. So, I mean, now Jesse James, yeah. Did you say Jesse James better step up?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is good. It's going to be interesting to see what the Lions do here to shore up the rest of their roster. I've liked a lot of these moves so far. As we mentioned, a lot of good grades from us. No D's. I didn't hear anybody give a D here.
No D's.
So that's positive.
D's, no.
What are we going to do at punter if Sam Martin's
Wait, hold on. You missed one. We have D Virgin. So there's that.
Boo. That's terrible.
You're terrible.
Ah, boy.
Tastes terrible.
we'll see what the Lions do here going forward. In regards to some of the rest of the moves, they still have moves to make for sure on the defensive line. You can't rely on Deshaun Hand being healthy.
And secondary.
And, especially that second cornerback spot. And, you know, maybe another linebacker perhaps. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But another interesting thing here is if the Lions, and maybe this is more a post-draft thing, is focusing on extending Taylor Decker at left tackle and how much money.
Yeah.
Because they have to factor that into the cap space as well. He's on the last year of his deal. So,
right.
That'll be interesting to see what they do there in addition.
What about Galladay too, right?
Galladay, that's another one.
Yeah.
So,
and Jones, are they both on their last year?
They're both on their last year. They're both on their last year, yep.
We should re-sign both of them.
Definitely Galladay.
Definitely Galladay.
I don't see the Lions re-signing Marvin Jones if I had to make
a big guess. I don't either.
I think the Lions are almost going. I would be shocked if they didn't take a wide. Yeah, this is such a deep draft wide receiver. I see them kind of getting their Marvin Jones replacement this year.
Another third rounder, like.
But man, Marvin Jones is so good when he's healthy and Galladay. With Stafford.
He is. That's what I love about him.
Oh, he's a stud.
So hey, we'll
this is we got that extra third rounder for Slay. Good time to get another one in the vein of Galladay, right?
Yeah. So, thank God, we're getting towards the end of the podcast here. I just want to say thank God that the NFL decided to keep their normal schedule in terms of starting the NFL league year, shoring up the CBA for 10 years. We don't have to worry about any sort of lockout now for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
That's nice. Very reassuring. And just giving us something to talk about here during this, social distancing. Time of our lives. It's pretty crazy. Before I want to throw out one more question there to you guys, just in terms of do you have any recommendations in terms of what to do during this quarantine time, basically? I just want you to give one movie or one TV show that you recommend to watch during this time.
God. Well, I can tell you what not to watch.
What?
I watched, me and my roommate watched the Sonic movie the other day. It may be one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Redid the Sonic guy from like a mouse to like a Sonic?
James Marsden's so uninspiring and like the script is horrible and it's just nothing redeeming about it at all. So don't watch Sonic.
Okay.
I got a non-movie or TV show thing.
A play?
The NFL has made the Game Pass free for the next 3 months, I think.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So you can go watch back to 2009 every game in the NFL, including playoffs and Super Bowls and preseason. So
yep,
pretty sweet deal.
So there's three Lions games to watch in that time frame. playoff, three Lions playoff games.
And
2009, right? Well, that was the first year we got Stafford, correct?
Yeah.
So they purposely left it from 2009 and later because they knew that was the first year Stafford played.
We watched the Redskins game when he first won a game and we finally broke
We broke the 0-19 streak or something like that.
I remember crying when they won that game. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful.
I didn't even believe it could happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It seemed like so far fetched. How about you, UJ?
Let's see. I just happened to watch this the other day. One of the best Tom Cruise movies out there, The Last Samurai. I think it's a great movie. And for a show, I'm gonna go with one of my all-time favorites. It's on Amazon, I believe. It's Justified.
It's Hulu. It's on Hulu. Great show.
On Hulu. Great show. Great show.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Binge watch for sure.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
if you haven't watched it yet, The Last Kingdom on Netflix, Viking type show, badass.
Good one.
I would recommend The Righteous Gemstones on HBO if you haven't watched that. It's hilarious. It's over the top, but it's hilarious. I'd recommend that one. And then, that's all I got on top of my head right now is recommendation. So,
you're not going to tell us to rewatch Breaking Bad?
You can also go binge watch the MCU.
No, okay. We're wrapping this up.
We are wrapping this up for sure.
We want to thank everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. Hopefully, this gives you something to listen to while you are in your home. You can throw on some headphones, tune out the people around you that you're stuck with for an hour. Just follow us on Twitter at Drinking Lions, Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Please leave a review on Apple. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and please share this with others as we look forward to this upcoming season. And we're going to have a lot more to talk about here as Lions make some additional moves and as the draft goes closer. Because the draft is still going to happen in late April, even if there's going to be nobody there. They're just going to drive that boat out to the stage and there's going to be nobody there. I forgot about
the boat thing. That's so ridiculous.
I think they're probably just going to do it inside and have a few tables there or something. I don't even know. It'll be interesting. These are interesting times. Very, very interesting times.
These are very interesting times.
Yeah, indeed.
Because a lot of these deals, they can't officially do them because they have to do their physical before they officially sign the deal. So these guys are having to go I don't know. They have to promise that they're in good health and then they'll officially do it a couple months from now, the physical. It's a weird situation in terms of officially signing some of these deals.
Wow.
So they're provisionally accepted, but not fully accepted is what my understanding is. Unless you're
The whole free agency is the early tampering period.
Yeah. Kind of. So, all right, but that's going to wrap it up. We want to thank everybody for listening. And and again, thank the new producer, Kid J, for helping us out, produce better audio quality as well on this podcast. So last but not least, gentlemen, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, as always, go!
Go!
A charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go. Go.